There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is just and faithful. We would like to speak about the love of God. We would like to speak about the faithfulness of the Lord tonight. Oh, this is wonderful. God is good. This is one of my favorite passages. Before I begin, I'd like to tell you a wonderful thing that happened to me yesterday. I received a brand new pair of formal shoes yesterday, and I'm so happy. Now, you might say, well, praise God. But what in the world has that got to do with our talk tonight? You see, I received those shoes. I was in Tarlac. We had a prayer rally yesterday morning. And, you know, on the way home, the couple who was driving me home gave this box to me. And so I thanked the Lord for that. But then I brought it into prayer time last night. I'm sure that someone else would have received that shoe and said, "Uy, salamat. Swerte ko naman. Mapalad naman ako na binigyan ako ng sapatos." But in all my 16 years in the Lord, I've learned to bring to the Lord anything that has happened in my life. And I brought it before Him last night and I said, "Lord, thank you for the shoes. Thank you very much. It's a small thing, but I really want to thank you for it." And then I felt that the Lord wanted to say something to me. And then, you know, it's almost like, "Lord, alam ko may sasabihin ka. Ano yun, Lord? What do you want to say to me about these new shoes?" And then I felt the Lord say, "Bo, haven't you noticed? I've been your wardrobe custodian, your fashion consultant, this past 10 years of your life." And you know, I realized it was true. For the past 10 years of my life, I haven't been buying clothes for my own. For the past 10 years, people would just give to me and you know, I just have to wear them. Whatever the style. And when I need something before the Lord, I wouldn't buy it. I'd say, "Lord, I know you're going to give this to me." There were occasions when I needed something, and I went ahead and bought them, and so I bought them, and it's already here with me. The very next day, something would come and arrive at home, which would be exactly what I bought. And it was as if the Lord was saying, "Haven't you learned, Bo, just to ask for me? This is a kind of training I want to give to you, to trust in me for the little things." This morning, I was thanking the Lord for being my wardrobe custodian and my fashion designer. And as I was doing that, I really felt the Lord wanted to say something else about the shoes. And then, this afternoon, in prayer, I felt the Lord was trying to say, He made me remember what I did 2 months ago. The Lord was saying, "Bo, do you remember 2 months ago you had 4 pairs of shoes?" And then I recalled, "Yes, of course." And then I received an inspiration 2 months ago from you that I was supposed to give 3 of them away. Why have 4? Just have 1. You know, I wear it every day anyway. Why would I have 4? Just have 1. So I gave the 3 away to people who needed it. And I was happy with 1 shoe. And I felt the Lord say, "Bo, well, I just want to humor you, joke you. I want to tell you that I'm pleased and I'm happy with what you've done. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, yesterday I received Bali shoes. 3 pairs of shoes I gave away 2 months ago were local. But yesterday, yung pala yung itsura ng Bali shoes. Nanginginig-ginig pa ako nung tinanggap ko eh. Kasi nung maliit ako, hindi, ganito pala yung Bali shoes in close up, ano ha? Iba yung amoy." And I just brought it before the Lord this afternoon. I said, "Lord, do you want me to give away my other pair of shoes?" And the Lord, you know, it's really funny because sometimes, have you experienced God humoring you? I felt the Lord say, "Bo, yung Bali shoes ang ibigay mo." Brothers and sisters, why am I sharing this to you? So that you will learn how to pray for new Bali shoes. No. What I want to share with you is God is at work in our life. And God is so, so busy thinking about how to bless us. You know, when I was a little kid, I really thought that God was really bored with His life. He would just be in heaven, sitting on a throne, and he'd do nothing except listen to his angels sing. That's all. Clean the galaxies, the solar systems are okay in their orbits, nothing else. But sisters and brothers, I realize now, after 16 years with the Lord, that God is very, very, very busy. What is He busy with? Thinking of ways to bless us. Thinking of ways to work in our life. God is a God who's busy working and dealing and transforming our lives. This is the kind of God we have. He is a God who is a potter. He is Abba. He molds us, He fashions us, He shapes us, He transforms us. This is the kind of God we have. Brothers and sisters, He is a God who works in our lives. Can we say that together? God is busy thinking of ways to bless me. God is busy thinking of ways to bless me. Can we say that again with a lot more conviction? God is busy thinking of ways to bless me. Everything in our life, God can use to shape our hearts and our minds so that we become formed in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's turn our scripture to our memory verse for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. After this talk, anyone who needs ballet shoes, just approach me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, beyond your power and ability to remain firm." You read through that passage, it's a remarkable comment of what God does for us. In this verse, what do you see? God is very busy in our lives. What does He do? I can think of three things. When you read that passage, you discover that there are three things that God does to us vis-a-vis temptations when it comes. What are the three things that God does? Discover them. First, what does He do? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to endure, beyond your strength and power to remain firm. That's the first thing that He does. Yes? Second, He gives us strength in time of temptation. You see that in the verse? Third, what does He do? He provides a way of escape in the midst of the temptation. Three things. Do you see how God is very busy? You see now how He is there working in your life? How often are we tempted? A lot? 7 times in a day? More? Can you imagine how busy He is? Let's look at the first one. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to remain firm. Go to Job, the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 12. The book of Job is the book before Psalms. So just for you to locate it, now, give you a background. God was in heaven, and Satan was there, and he was asking if God would permit him to tempt and test Job. Now, look at the answer of God to Job. Are you there? Job chapter 1, verse 12. And it says, "So the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person or on his body.' Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." What do you see there? That God is able to stop Satan from tempting him. God is a God who puts limits to the temptation, to the test. God is a God who puts boundary lines. He is a God who puts demarcations, parameters. He says, until here, only until here. It goes through a screen test. Every single test and every single temptation that we experience goes through the hand of God. God says, only until here. Later on, you find that God would allow Satan to test Job, even with physical sickness. But at first, he said no. This is the kind of God we have. Brothers and sisters, listen to this truth. Listen to it with all your heart and understand. God will not allow a temptation stronger than your ability to remain firm. Every single temptation that you experience is something that you can say no to. Every single temptation is something that you can overcome and you can conquer. Every single temptation, not one is beyond your power to remain firm. Not a single one. Doesn't that comfort you? He is a God who can say no to Satan. Not that temptation. That's too much. That's too strong. Not that one. He does that. He is very busy doing that, guarding us every moment of our life. He sees to it that all temptations and all tests will not be beyond our power to remain firm. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, doesn't that give you a lot of comfort? It did to me when I discovered this truth. It did to me. It's just a wonderful truth. It's a beautiful truth. It's so beautiful I want to sing. Abba, Abba Father. He's a wonderful Father. You are the power. You want to sing? And we are the clay, the work of your hands. Abba, Abba Father, you are the potter, and we are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us, mold us and fashion us. Continue to sing. He's a wonderful God. Every temptation passes through Him to mold us, to fashion us. That's how great our God is. That's how loving our God is. Number two, what does God do? He gives you strength. Brothers and sisters, one of the things we should avoid is when you read a verse like that, pag may tukso, pag may temptation, God will give me strength. O sige, I'm a drinker kasi alcoholic ako. Pupunta ako sa beer pub. Haharap ako ng isang bote sa lamesa. Tapos titingnan ko. The Lord will give me strength. Yeah. And then you'll wait for an electric surge of energy from heaven. Bzz, boom, I'm strong. Brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. You will not feel an electric surge entering your body. You will not feel suddenly, I'm strong, I'm strong. Wow, something happened. You won't feel it. You have to believe by faith that God is giving you strength at the moment of temptation. Don't court the temptation. But when it does come, believe that God, at that very moment, at that precise moment, is providing enough strength for you to say no. Repeat, brothers and sisters, you won't feel it. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says we are to live and walk by faith, not by sight, not by our senses, not by our feelings, but by what the Word of God says. God will give you strength. Third, God will provide a way out. Sometimes He will do this naturally, by the strength that He already has given to us. Sometimes He will do this miraculously, through an intervention, a divine intervention from Him. How many of you heard the story of how I first gave a talk when I was 13 years old? The leader of the prayer group spoke to me and said, Bo, you're going to give a talk. And next week, so I prepared. She received the gift of prophecy that I would receive the gift of wisdom to give a talk. So I said, okay. Not necessarily in that voice. It's high pitched then. Pre-puberty. Okay. And then I got all my Bibles in front of me and I started looking and locating for what word the Lord would like to give to His people. And finally I landed on a verse in the Bible that says eternal life, and so I was going to give it. I prepared 20 pages for that talk. So in front of everyone, you know, people were so excited. We were 30 people. And they were saying, wow, si Bo, 13 years old, magbibigay ng talk. You know, they were so excited and happy. And so I said, brothers and sisters, I'd like to talk about eternal life. And I was halfway through that page when people started acting like chickens already. Pasimple ba sila? Pasimple ba sila? Yung... Para hindi mahalata, you know? And, you know, I was in the first page, so I went to the 20th page and said, brothers and sisters, that's all. And everybody clapped their hands. So I sat down and I said, I'll never give a talk again. I'll never give a talk again. You know, but the leader approached me and said, why don't you give the talk on the next week? And I said, okay. The thing that I felt the Lord was doing was I was going to have pride. But then the Lord directly intervened and provided a way of escape by making my talk the lousiest talk in the world. My first talk was a lousy talk. And praise God, I didn't have the chance to be proud. And then, after some time, after maybe a year or so, I was going to give a talk to 300 people. And I was so proud. You know, and I went to the stage and I said, wow, I'm going to give a talk for 300 people. First time, the biggest ever. And I was holding my Bible like this, and I went up the stage, and then I tripped. And then I held the microphone, and the microphone fell down. When I picked it up, the podium fell. You know, worst of all, brothers and sisters, ito nakakaya, pero bukas yung zipper ko nung yung gabing yan. You know, it was the first time I felt a direct inter... Kaya pala yung mga first row, nakatingin sa taas. Ngumingiti-ngiti. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the things I felt after the talk, talagang hiyang-hiya ako, Lord, bakit naman mo ginawa? Ano, muntik na ako nahulog sa stage, and all of that. And I felt the Lord was telling me, you know, Bo, direct intervention. As I look back at that experience, I felt the Lord directly intervene. If not, I would have become proud during that first time, and the Lord was reforming me. I gave a last 2 or 3 years ago, I gave a retreat to 300 people. And again, you know, after that retreat, 2 days, Sunday afternoon, everyone was telling me, Bo, grabe, sobrang retreat. Galing, the Lord spoke to me. Thank you very much, you know. It was a wonderful retreat. And so, I was saying, ah, talaga? Praise the Lord, no? Yeah. Thank you. Praise God. And I felt so good about, you know, what I did and so on. In the afternoon, I talked with a guy who did not know me at all. He was a born-again Christian. And he approached me, and for 2 hours, he talked to me about the Bible. And he didn't know me, he didn't know my work. The Lord really planned it, you know. And he was such an overbearing, self-righteous kind of a guy that he knew the Bible, and he said, do you know about the Bible? You know, you're a Catholic. And so he started looking down at me, and I felt I was an ant in front of him. You know, I was really so small. And do you know what John 3:16 says? You know, sa loob-loob ko, gusto kong sabihin, gusto mo sa Greek o sa Hebrew? Pero hindi ko sinabi yun. You know what? I felt the Lord speak to my heart. Bo, keep your mouth shut and listen. Endure this punishment. Yes, Lord. For 2 hours. Yung talagang, ang liit na, parang, I was so small, you know. That's why, Bo, you need to believe in God or else you're gonna go to hell. Wow, talaga, praise God, you know. Thank you, brother. Please pray for me. He prayed for me, then at the end, you know, it was a beautiful experience because at the end, he said, you know, I learned one or two things tonight. Bakit ka ganyan? Tahimik ka lang, you know? But, you know, the thing that, at the end of that talk, you know, dalawa lang kami, I felt the Lord really gave me a direct intervention. I was gonna be proud during that retreat, after that retreat. And the temptations of thinking about how good I was and, you know, what a great thing did I do, and so on. The Lord nipped it in the bud. He did not allow me to go through that, but brought me a person who would not know me, who would criticize me, and who humbled me. The best way, not the best name, one of the wonderful ways of being humble is by being humiliated. And it's a good thing that the Lord does. Sisters and brothers, sometimes He will provide a way of escape. And He will do that sometimes miraculously, sometimes in a way that's natural. He gives you the strength. God does these things. He's a very busy God. Let's give the Lord a big hand for being a busy God. Thank you, Father. Loving God. Hallelujah. And yet in all of this busyness that God does it mean therefore, God will do it for me. I will fight. I will be able to overcome temptation because God does these wonderful things, three things. Is that all? Read that verse again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and understand, is there something that we need to do? Is there something that we need to do? Read that verse. What does it say? There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Brothers and sisters, answer my question. Who will stand firm? You and me. Who will escape? You and me. We have something to do. God will do a lot of things when temptations come. He will do a lot. He will let them go through an audition. He will allow limits and parameters to come. He will give you strength. And He will even provide a way of escape. He will do a lot of things. But He also expects that we are to do something. We are to stand firm. And we will be the ones who will run away and escape. We are the ones. I love a story from Genesis chapter 39. It's about Joseph. Would you want to turn your scripture there? Genesis chapter 39. This is a long story. I want you to be patient. I want you to listen well and read well from your scripture. Because this is a place where God intervened. This is a place where God gave Joseph strength in the midst of temptation. But this is also where Joseph himself escaped and stood firm. Verse 1 says, "And now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand." Okay, so you get the story. Joseph was sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to the Egyptians. He's now working for a man by the name of Potiphar, and he's a slave there. We read on. Verse 4, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house of the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." In other words, guapo siya. Verse 7. "Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me. Lie with me.'" Verse 8, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in his house, and he has commanded all that he has at my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Isn't he a wonderful guy? Isn't he good? He's standing firm in the midst of temptation. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Woo! Can you imagine this woman? Every day. Terrible. Okay, where are we? Joseph did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Verse 11. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Uh-oh. Verse 12. And she caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. You can just imagine. Joseph, lie with me. Joseph stood there and said, Mrs. Potiphar, you were just doing this because you were having marital problems with your husband. She replied, Joseph, I'd prefer if you called me Jenny. Verse 13, Joseph spoke up, Jenny, your husband has given you all that you need. Why don't you love him? Oh, Joseph, if you only knew what he does to me. He thinks I'm just a piece of furniture in this house. His pet tiger is more important to him than I am. Jenny starts sobbing, and her head rests on the strong shoulders of Joseph. Verse 14, Jenny, you need to speak to Potiphar. Tell him about your feelings. I've tried that already, Joseph. It's as though I'm speaking to a piece of rock, a wall. She places her arms around his arms and clutches tight. But your husband is a good man. She whispers into his ear, not as good as you. You're so kind and gentle and warm. Oh, Jenny, we shouldn't do this, he says as he removes her arms around him. This is wrong. I don't care anymore what is right or wrong. She wails as Jenny places her arms around him again and looks intently into his eyes with a stream of tears rolling down her cheeks. I need you, Joseph. I have suffered so much rejection, so much pain. If you reject me now, to whom will I turn to? Oh, I might as well run away with Gezer. She cries in exasperation, her face turning away from Joseph. Gezer? Joseph asks. Gezer, the slave merchant? Jenny, he's a cruel, vicious, vile, stinking man. Jenny turns her eyes towards him again and says, Gezer has been telling me to elope with him for many years now. I know he's a cruel man, but why then go with him? Jenny's embrace tightens, moaning like a hurt child, like a wounded dove. Gezer seems to be the only man that is interested in me. This time Joseph almost shouts, you're going to destroy your life, ruin everything if you go with Gezer. Her fingers gently touch his lips. You care for me, Joseph. Even if you don't love me, knowing that you care for me is enough for my beating heart. Jenny, I care for you. And I love you, Joseph, she was still able to say before her red lips met his own. After a while, the bedroom lamp was turned off, and though the stars outside were distantly blazing in the night sky, it was as though all of heaven was mourning, wailing, and weeping above Egypt, its heart heavy, burdened with untold sorrow. At dyan po nagwawakas ang kahapon lamang. Dear Kuya Eli, brothers and sisters, I have good news for you. It did not happen that way. In verse 12, what happens? And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Hallelujah! God is a good God. One of the things I realized about this story, important things. Number one, brothers and sisters, when you're faced by temptation, obey first and run out of the room of temptation. I'll say it again. Obey first and run out of the room of temptation. In my fictional story, in my fictional version, Joseph conversed with the enemy, spoke with the enemy, dilly-dallied in the room of temptation. And you get caught that way. The first thing we need to do, if God does three things when we're tempted, we are supposed to do also important things, and one of them is to obey first and run out of the room of temptation. Is that clear? Don't converse with the enemy. Don't stay there. Run away. Sometimes when I'm watching TV, for example, and I see a seduction scene, even if it's comedy, I've realized and I know myself that I'll be affected in my thoughts, in my daydreams, if I watch that scene. Because of that, I close my eyes or I literally leave the room. I know myself. I know my weakness. I don't converse with the enemy. I don't say, "Uy, it's interesting plot. Ano ko mayayari?" I don't do that. I don't say, "Ganda ng acting ability nila." I just want to study how they acted. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, I know myself. And I just get out of that room. I don't even want to think about it, or see it, or watch it, or remember it. It's out of the question. I obey first. I don't justify things. I don't make excuses. I just leave the room. Brothers and sisters, when we're tempted in any way, someone wants to gossip about someone else, you just want to say, stop that person or leave the room. You just want to say, this is not of God. I want to obey first. The second thing I learned about the story is that there is no guarantee that everything will be fine when we say yes to God and no to temptation. There is no guarantee that everything will turn out fine. What do you read in Genesis 39 when Joseph ran away from the wife of Potiphar? What did the wife do? Read through that passage and you read, and she accused him that he was going to abuse her. Sisters and brothers, Joseph went into prison for 2 years. Terrible. Imagine being in prison for 2 years because you stood up for your faith. Brothers and sisters, no guarantee. Sometimes we think that way. If we say no to temptation, we won't get hurt. Second truth, you will sometimes get hurt when you say no to temptation. Part of life. Part of the Christian faith. God will reward you. Joseph later on was exalted in Egypt and became second only to Pharaoh. But God did that after 2 years. God vindicated him, rewarded him. So the Lord will do that to us. Number three, there is no guarantee that others will not get hurt. There is no guarantee that others will not get hurt. In my fictional version, Joseph dilly-dallied in that room because naawa siya sa babae. Uy, kuwawa ka naman. Siguro may marital problems ka kay Potiphar. Uy, kuwawa ka naman. Pupunta kay Gezer. He's gonna destroy your life. Wag naman. Many times, we don't want to say no to temptation because we might hurt someone. Our friend, our barkada. Halika, inuman tayo. Halika, punta tayo doon. Sige na. Let's paint the town red. Tonight lang. Ngayon lang. Sige na. Sige na nga. Baka masaktan ka. Then you go to the Lord and you say, "Lord, kasi baka masaktan yung kaibigan ko. Eh, kawawa naman. Kaya I said yes." Brothers and sisters, there's no guarantee. When you say no to temptation, sometimes people will get hurt. That's fine. That's okay. As long as God will not be hurt. As long as God will not be offended. I was counseling a man who was it was a sexual, premarital sexual relationship. And you know, it was like both of them were saying, kasi gusto ng isa eh. Kasi hindi namin mahindihan yung isa dahil kawawa naman siya. He wanted it, she wanted it. Malabo. Brothers and sisters, when you say no to temptation, sometimes people get hurt. And it's okay to do that. This talk ends about Jesus Christ. Because in the first part of 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says, "No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man." People of God, all the temptations you experience are not unique, not special, not tailor-fit for you. Lahat tayo, pare-pareho. We're tempted in the same way. We're tempted in the same way. Now I ask you a question. Kung sinabi doon, all temptations are common to man, kasali ba doon si Jesus? Kasali ba doon si Jesus? Ano sa tingin nyo? Jesus became man. Did He also experience the same kinds of temptation? Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." God sending His Son like sinful flesh. "And for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Hebrews 2. Turn your scripture to Hebrews 2, verse 14, verse 17 to 18. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, Jesus also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him, that the power of death," that is the devil. Verse 17, clearer. "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Verse 18. "For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted." Sisters and brothers, Jesus was tempted as you and I. One of the funny things that I find in my own perception of Jesus is that I can tend to limit my view of Jesus from the point of view of the Son of God, from the perspective of the second person of the Trinity, forgetting that He was the man of Galilee, the Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? There's only one thing I don't like about that movie. Jesus, Robert Powell, does not blink. It's terrible. You know, Jesus would be there and then, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I'm there looking, blink, come on, blink. Blink. For the whole 4 hours, you won't see a blink. I don't know, maybe He was instructed to do that. Jesus was a human being. He blinked. I believe He blinked. Can you imagine Jesus committing grammatical errors when He preached? Yes, He was a human being. He was a human being. Brothers and sisters, we need to reconcile our image of Jesus with that of the Jesus of Nazareth, with a human Jesus. Jesus, can you imagine Jesus smelling because He didn't take a bath for one day? Brothers and sisters, it's true. We need to realize that, because then we would not realize the verses that we just read, that Jesus experienced all the experiences we have had in our lifetime. Jesus was tempted. Do you think Jesus was tempted to greed? That after healing people, do you think that He was tempted to pride? Do you think that Jesus was tempted to lust? If you don't believe, then read the verses we just read. That's what you read. Those verses said that Jesus experienced all our temptations. Every single one of them. And yet, did Jesus sin? Did He? No. He never did. And this is the truth I want to end my talk with. Men of God, people of God, women of the Lord, understand and listen with your hearts. Jesus was able to overcome all temptation, not because He was Son of God, not because of His divinity, not because of the second person of the Trinity power, not because of that. Jesus was able to say no to all temptation as a human being who relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a human being when He overcame all sin, and He relied not on the power of the Son of God, but on the power of the Holy Spirit working in His life, which is in our lives. Every single one of you, every single one of us, we have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and we can overcome all temptation. Because He did it, so can we. Is God good? There is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful Lord. The last passage for tonight will be Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. And the writer says, and you have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. Can we read that together? Can we say that together? And we have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding our blood. Sisters and brothers, God is busy when a temptation comes in our life. He is busy working. But He expects us to fight sin to the point of shedding our blood. We would rather die than sin against our God. I want us to pray now to the Lord that He would speak to us and bring us into righteousness and holiness. People of God, we're going to pray tonight, and we're going to respond to the word that the Lord has given to us. Did you receive God's word tonight? Did you receive a tailor-fit, pre-designed word of God for your personal life? You know why? Because you prayed for me. Because you prayed that God would speak to you. And so He did. Do you have a sin in your life that you want to bring before Him for forgiveness? If you have, then this is the time. God wants to, He wants to use a megaphone, and He wants to put it right beside your ear, and then He wants to say, there is no temptation that you have that is not common to man. I am faithful. You will not be tempted beyond your ability to remain firm. I will see to it that that's going to happen. I will put boundaries to Satan, limit his work. I, the Lord your God, will provide you a way of escape. Miraculous or not miraculous, I will provide a way for escape. There is no such thing as a point of no return. There will always be a point where you can return to me. I will give you the strength. He's speaking that word to us. Let us stand. I have good news for you, men and women of the Lord. He loves you. Jesus would not die on the cross if He does not love you. And if He does not love you, you would not be in this church. You would be somewhere else. He would not have called you here if He does not love you. But you're here. That's because He loves you. That same love will forgive you of all your sins. That same love will forgive you of all iniquity and wickedness. Come to your God. Come to your Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give to God your sins. Admit it before Him. Say it. I have sinned against the Lord. Now you tell the Lord what they are. I don't know what they are, but you tell Him. You tell Him.
My heart not garlands I rend. Oh, I cry to thee, save me from my guilt.
My heart not broken I send.
Thou my only hope,
for thou my only
life and breath. If thou wilt ever take my guilt and my shame, I shall live, be healed from the grave.
Oh God,
forgive me, to love thee again.
Forgive me to love thee again.
Forgive me to love thee again.
My heart not garlands
I rend.
Oh, I cry to thee,
save me from my guilt.
My heart now broken,
my heart now broken I stand.
For thou my only hope,
for thou my only hope,
life and breath,
life and breath.
Thou will ever take,
if thou will ever take
my guilt.
I shall live again, be healed from the grave.
Oh God,
forgive me to love me again.
Forgive me
to love me again.
My life cannot even begin to change.
My life cannot even begin to change.
Thy own strength.
Oh God,
forgive me
to love thee again.
Forgive me
to love thee again.
Forgive me
to love thee again.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.